Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, Monash experts say, is it too soon, is the question I asked, is it too soon to approve a Russian COVID-19 vaccine? We're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Zeb Jamrozik. He's a bioethicist, Monash Bioethics Center, and talk about this question in regards to, is it too soon to approve a Russian COVID-19 vaccine? On the line, Dr. Zeb, very good morning. How are you?
Hi, Trevor. It's good to be here.
Thank you for being here. Look, thinking of you guys in Victoria and regarding COVID-19 and the lockdown and what have you, the question that's put out there, is it too soon to approve a Russian COVID-19 vaccine? So, Doctor, please enlighten us about this situation. So, has Russia found a vaccine for COVID-19 and is it too soon to approve it? What's your professional thoughts there, please?
Well, there's more than 100 vaccines out there being developed for COVID-19.
Okay.
Some of the vaccines are being tested in humans. And the Russian vaccine has only been tested in less than 100 people. And they've shown that it produces an immune response. But we don't know whether that immune response and that vaccine will actually protect people against infection.
Well, you need more than 100 people just to test, don't you?
Yeah. For this disease, for COVID-19, other people who are testing other vaccines are using 30,000 people.
Yes.
And giving half of them the test vaccine and half of them a placebo or a vaccine that doesn't work against COVID-19. And then they wait and see who gets infected and try and work out if the ones who've had the testing vaccine get infected less and if it looks like it's safe and it works. But that takes a lot of people and a lot of time.
A lot of time. A lot of people, a lot of time. That's right. And you have to measure and keep an eye on those people taking the so-called vaccine and the effects.
Yeah, that's right. And so the Russians have done some early research in a few people to look at whether it makes an immune response. And like a lot of the other vaccines that are around, it does make an immune response, as far as we can tell. But what we don't know is if it actually protects people against infection.
So it's in the air. I'm picking up, you know, we want normality. We want to find a vaccine to, you know, kill this disease, this virus. But I'm thinking along the lines of, you know, which country does it first? Which doctor does it first? Are we talking fame? Are we talking monetary situation here, you know? Billionaire, becoming a billionaire overnight. We couldn't have people with egos. I mean, like, yes, we want a vaccine. Yes, we are professionals, but that would come in the equation, would it not?
Of course. There's a lot of competition here.
Yes.
You know, some people want to be first to get a vaccine.
And name the vaccine after me.
Yeah, some people want to you know, some companies probably think they can make a lot of money out of this, and they probably could. But the most important thing is that we get something that's safe and
exactly.
That it works,
yes.
And that we get it to the people who need it.
Yes. And look, true to the person who finds it, what have you. Yes, save the world, and if it means paying you billions of dollars to do it, it's an investment, and it needs to be done, and you know, and also keep a focus on other diseases that may raise its ugly head. Yeah.
Yeah, we certainly need vaccines and other things, not just for COVID-19, but for other diseases. You know, there's people working on vaccines for streptococcus, for example, that causes a lot of rheumatic heart disease in the indigenous mob in Australia,
exactly.
And that's another vaccine that we need really badly. So we shouldn't necessarily just focus on COVID-19, but it would certainly help the world go back to normal if we did have a vaccine.
For sure. So when you look at Russia and testing less than 100 people, and then other countries doing about 30,000 participants as such, well, they can't be the front runners, Russian, in regard to the vaccine, if that is the case, yeah?
That's right, yeah. And there's at least five trials of 30,000 people of five different vaccines that have already been designed, and a couple of them have got started. So that's going to be 150,000 people at least all around the world to test mm-hmm. five vaccines, and some of those have already got started, whereas the last thing I read about the Russian vaccine was that they didn't even have a plan to do one of those big trials.
Yeah.
And that would mean that we would never even know if their vaccine worked if they just start giving it to people.
Well, exactly. And that's dangerous too, isn't it?
It can be.
Yes.
Because, yeah, when we're testing a vaccine, we want to watch people very closely to make sure it's safe and that it works.
Mm.
And we don't want to just be giving someone or giving people something if we don't know if it works.
Well, yeah. If it's not killing the so-called virus, but then it's affecting other health problems in an individual, you don't want that.
Yeah, look, usually vaccines are pretty safe.
Okay.
And don't have too many side effects. And we don't have any reason to think that the Russian vaccine would be any less safe. But regardless, as you say, we need to watch people very carefully, because if anything comes up, we want to be sure, is it due to an infection or something else, or is it due to the vaccine? And that can be quite a hard question to answer.
Yes.
Unless we're doing one of these standard trials with lots of people and using a placebo and so on.
And the other question that's probably hard to answer is the time frame. I mean, like with the people, countries who are doing 30,000 participants, what would be the time frame, Dr. Zebin, regarding finding the outcome? And if it's all thumbs up, this works, then creating or making enough of the vaccine to distribute throughout the world. What's the time frame on that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. The first part of it is, the people in those big trials, they have to get infected for us to know whether the vaccine's working or not. So if where they're doing the trial, there's a big epidemic, there's lots of cases of the disease, then we'll find out pretty quickly,
yes,
maybe even just in a couple of months. But if the epidemic slows down where they're doing the study, then it might take a year or more,
exactly,
for enough people in the study to get infected. So it could take a long time.
Yeah.
And then after we know, you're right, we've got to start manufacturing lots of doses. And Australia just signed this agreement that if the Oxford vaccine, one of the UK vaccines, turns out to work, then we'll start manufacturing it probably here in Australia. But to make enough doses for the whole of Australia,
we've got the invoice ready to go for this country,
yeah,
so to speak.
Making 20 million doses is a lot of doses, and getting them out to people is going to take time.
It is. Dr. Zeb, thank you so very much. Look, all the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe, stay warm, and we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, see you. Bye.
Dr. Zeb Jemirok, his name is, and he's a bioethicist, Monash Bioethics Centre. And the question is in that topic is it too soon to approve a Russian COVID-19 vaccine? As he stated that Russia did less than 100 people testing on a vaccine, and they think they found one. But in actual fact, you need to test more than 100 people. And most countries are testing 30,000 participants, as mentioned. So it's probably too soon for Russia to, how you say, grab the trophy or come up with a vaccine. And that's what came to my mind in regarding the countries, which country makes the vaccine, which doctor, which university, which medical center. I mean, then fame comes into the thing, the equation is what I'm thinking. And then money comes into it. I mean, whoever finds a vaccine, we're talking billions of dollars in regard to their name on the vaccine, what have you, but we want normality. And if it means, I don't know, for that individual doctor, that center, university, medical center to be named the vaccine, then look, so be it, you know, it is what it is. But look, have you say, tell us what your thoughts. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarnin with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and we want to hear what you've got to say. You might give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
It's the Dia Double Cooker, that the Y coming at ya. Got the whole crew here ready to attack ya. Yeah. With the beats and the rhythm on the scratch. now I'm clearing the pavement.
Yeah, I will. Sniggity coming and speaking to realists. I'm one of the illest of villains. I'm running with dealers, visible criminals, banging invisible. Haters are looking for miracles, looking hysterical. Haters are yapping, spitting the grabbing, tell them what happened. When you get that money, stacking, rapping, holding the rap game captive. Physically massive, laughing, criminally acting, best as well. Still thinking of selling, no telling, you're dealing with funny, so acting. You seen it, I'm in it to win it. A drill, I'm a killer, I'm here from calm. Mama, I'm driven by the dangerous pride. But that's who I am. The black youth, hurry up to and join the huddle. We're grouping truth to societies and trying to rubble. Minds feed the start of double lies, greed, deceit, defeat the best man humble. Keep your spirit to land, although your sneaks on the street. I still realize your people still ain't squashing. Better keep the skin deep, but I'm betting that they just feel threatened. From the Twin City, the wall of me, get a me. Black rapping, Western Miranda, double Jerry bar. Put it all together, straight up, black fella. I rock colors in black and white. Recite ancient stories from dream time. When I fly on the mic, let me take you back to the mission. So listen, we fighting for existence, resistant for instant. My thoughts flying like a piston. You're not with my brothers and sisters. Can you feel the question and the message represent? That's who I am. Rapping the NT streets, down the VIC. Rapping and rapidly attacking all the hip-hop beats. See what happens when you see indigenous MCs. Rock across the nation, hoping they get overseas. Cause it's more than just a dream, plus we do this for our people. Defeat for all the evil that we see every day. Hoping that the sun shines so we can see better days. Who's that there? Aboriginal, cool like air. On the microphone, fly like a spear. With them flows, sound smooth, sound slick. Out the stereo, I'm a gun, baby. I hold it down like a boss to represent, baby. To a number one, you money, you ladies. You fans, you love and you use, hate me. It's D-Boy, baby.
That's who I am, where I stand today.
Stand strong.
You're gonna let you buck me or push me away.
Let him go.
So now you know who I am today.
Stand strong.
And I'll never change no matter what they say.
Now you know.
The Healing Foundation is a national Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisation. We partner with communities to address the ongoing trauma caused to the stolen generations. Right now, we want young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders aged 18 to 35 to join our youth reference group. You'll work on intergenerational healing and also learn skills that will make a difference to people's lives. Applications close August 29 at healingfoundation.org.au.
G'day folks, Troy Cassadale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have your saying, yarn up strong on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, the question is, we asked our multicultural communities how to best communicate COVID-19 advice, and just to talk about the space we're living in at the moment and talking about our brothers and sisters in the multicultural community. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Mohammed Al-Kachifaj. He's the CEO of Federation of Ethnic Communities Council of Australia. Mohammed, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation in regard to our brothers and sisters in the multicultural community. Welcome to our beautiful country. And just talking about the communication that needs to be had in regard to COVID-19. As the CEO of the Federation of Ethnic Communities Council of Australia, do you feel that multicultural people are being forgotten about, so to speak, regarding communication of COVID-19?
Look, I think what we've seen is that there could have been a better planning in the middle of the pandemic. Obviously, you know, everyone's trying to do their best to, you know, do what they can to protect the population.
Sure.
And I think this is a really interesting, observation. And we've known this for a while that, you know, some of the most vulnerable members of the community, whether that's Aboriginal and Torres Islander communities or whether that's multicultural communities, you know, our communities are always an afterthought. It's always, you know, when somebody says, hey, what about, you know, translating materials or making sure information is available to other communities, that's when, I guess, the policymakers or the planners wake up and say, oh, yep, you know, we forgot them. Let's make sure, you know, we provide a Band-Aid solution. But this needs to stop. It's 2020 and we thought
that. We're here, hello.
That's right, you know, this keeps happening and it's not good enough. And I think what we're trying to, I guess, do now is to say, look, let's use this as an opportunity to make a point here that, you know, multicultural communities are not a small percentage of the, you know, population. We, you know, like, if you're not an Aboriginal or Torres Islander person, then you are a migrant, and you have come to this country at some point. So it's not a foreign concept, if you like. And increasingly, according to the census, one in two people were either born overseas or they have at least one parent born overseas. So I think we really need to get better at, including multicultural communities and including other, vulnerable communities in policy making and in government communications messages.
And what sort of points were put across the table in regard to the government to communicate with the multicultural communities?
Well, look, I think what we've seen was, there were translation bungles, which, you know, have made the headlines, and I'm sure everyone's, you know, seen that, for example, the Persian translation, included Arabic translation there as well, two different languages. Or the Arabic text was completely back to front because no one checked the translation. Now, you know, these things do happen, I acknowledge that, but it's not too difficult to, you know, verify some of those, translations with the community to say, hey, is this correct first? Mm. But also, you tell us what information you want in your own language, rather than us telling you what we think you need to hear. And I think this is where the distinction is, right? Like, I think, for a long time, multicultural communities have sat back and said, well, we will wait for the government or for policymakers to come to us and, then we will respond. But I think what we've starting to realise is that is not very effective, and unless you take charge of your own communities, of the need of your communities, nothing's going to change. And I think that lesson, we learned that from our brothers and sisters in Aboriginal and Torres Islander community controlled health organisations. I mean, you guys have really...
the old phrase, Mohammed, you always came to the table, if you're black, stay back. Well, that's no longer. I mean, like I said, 20th century, we are standing up and going forward and asking for what we need and what needs to be done. The old phrase, not the tail wagging a dog, taking control is what you're saying, Mohammed.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's the lesson that we're learning from you guys. And, really looking forward to kind of working in closer partnerships with NACHA, for example, as the national peak.
Indigenous Health Organisation.
Aboriginal Control Health Organisation, to learn from your learnings. I mean, we know that you guys have taken really fantastic initiatives in dealing with COVID-19, and we have no one's done it any better. So I think there is a lot for us to work with you guys on future initiatives like this.
Well, we as First Nation people of the country, we welcome our brothers and sisters, multicultural communities, to our country. But yes, there need to be more robust conversations and communication, and the lines of communication open. And it's not about waiting for the mountain to come to us. The mountain should come to us instead of we going to the mountains. What you're saying?
Absolutely, Absolutely.
A very important conversation. Well, thank you very much for sharing. And we are having a talk here on First Nation Radio Station, which is the national program, National Talk Back, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So your communication is out there, and the government is listening. So thank you very much, Mohammed, to you and your team, your family, and your federation. All the best, and we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
You take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn with Mohammed Al-Kajevesh. He's the CEO of Federation of Ethnic Communities Council of Australia. And the statement was, we asked multicultural communities how to best communicate COVID-19 advice. Here's what they told us. And in actual fact, there wasn't a lot of conversation going on there, is what he, Mohammed, was alluding to. So it's about having a conversation. There could have been done a better way. He understands also COVID-19 is upon the whole world and territories, states and governments of the world and states and territories, like I said, are walking through a dark tunnel. And in regard to the communication, how to best to communicate with all constituents of the country. But when you're talking about Australia, a multicultural country we are, they need to have the communication to the multicultural community as well. So they're a very important conversation. Our brothers and sisters from afar who are living with us here now on the Big Island, Australia. Have you say, you might be on a strong add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully on Trevor 720, Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. I'm voice for our people, so do utilise it, add to the conversation. Want to hear from you, mob. We go cross nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Long time now, Nalabat Binjiran, right here along with this country. Long time now, Yuma Pilkaman, right here along with this country. Today we all sit down here, together.
Time ago, the ancestors walked this earth, creating the world that we know. They made the trees, the plants, and the animals, and life was given to the land. This was the time of dreaming, a very powerful and spiritual time. Today we live in a dreaming. This is our culture and our tradition. Peoples of Australia. For a long time now, we've lived on this land. Them white men came. They too live here. And now in this time, we begin to walk together.
it on your mouth. It's me, Bush Takabanji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Jabu Dai Lady, name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
They take him away. As a young stockman, I used to ride a quiet pony round the countryside in a native cab. I'll never forget a young black mother, yes, a young black mother, her cheeks all wet. Yahweh, Yahweh, my brown skin. They take him away. Between her sobs, I heard her say, "Police been taking my baby away from white men, boss. That baby I have, ooh, why he let him? Oh, why he let them take baby away?" Yahweh, Yahweh, my brown skin baby, they take him. A children's home, our baby came with new clothes on and a new name. Day and night he would always say, "Oh my mummy, oh my mummy, why they take me?"
Yeah, beautiful track there. Brown Skin Baby, that's Bob Randall featuring The Titters. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We come to you live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. You can have your say by calling us on that number. Otherwise, text, brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Going to catch up now with sister on the line, all the way from WA, and we've got Sylvia. Very good morning, my sister.
Kobodich, Kedala, to you too.
To you too.
Lovely.
Thanks, darling. How are you?
Tired, really yes. Tired. There's been storm damage and had no power, and so I've been cooking on the hearth with wood fire, and it takes a long, long time on wood to cook potatoes and vegetables and kangaroo meat.
Yeah, they say blessed are the flexible, and in the world we're living in at the moment, adaptability is everywhere, isn't it?
Look, I've got plenty of adaptability, but the trouble is that the invading regime has not.
Yeah, there
they're
you go.
Stuck in their colonial carry-on 200 years ago, wreck the country model.
Sing it to the choir here, my sister, I hear you, yes.
Anyhow, would I phone today because I've had no power for over 3 weeks. So I've missed all the news, most of the news on the radio. And I just heard that the horrific fires in California.
Yes.
Now, they talk about the people and the housing, but they never talk about the animals and the wildlife and the rivers and all the pollution it's causing.
Yes, exactly. Mother Earth, like I said, and COVID-19, look, thoughts going out to a lot of people who've lost their lives and to their families and what have you. But when you look at COVID-19, in a way, an angel in disguise regarding Mother Earth, she was breathing again, wasn't she?
Yes, she is, but they're using the fires to make sure she can't breathe again, aren't they?
Yeah, true, true.
You know, even Trump last year said, amongst his other rhetorics, said that the fires were caused by not caring for the forests and cleaning them out properly.
Yes.
Now, if he could say that last year, there were all these millions for all their propaganda about electioneering.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no money to pay the local traditional people to get into the forest and care for them and care for the animals.
Yep. First Nation people of America, exactly. They've got
Absolutely.
The answer, haven't they?
They've had 500 plus years of that penal colony.
Exactly, yep.
So, now, that's what I've phoned today for. I'm doing what I practice. They had the fire brigade come round here and they burnt the poor little baugers to death.
Is that
not the weeds, didn't get out the big high African grasses that grow 100 times, burn 100 times hotter and grow as tall as a man. They didn't get any of that out. They just burnt the bauga to poor little black sticks.
Yes. And I bet you there was no communication with the TOs when they were doing it.
Well, that's probably me phoning up the government to try and get people out on the land to clean it to prevent the fires.
Yeah,
the trees are so stressed because of the lack of groundwater, which we know about that for the koala as well, the koalas.
Mm.
We know that. So they're shedding their limbs. When the summer comes and the winds come, all the leaves get blown off because they're dying. We're dying from dieback. They're dying from stress and lack of water and young ones are sprouting up, and the place is weed infested, which all turns into straw and more fire hazardous materials.
And it becomes fuel for the fire, doesn't it?
Yeah, all they've got to do is get out there and do campfires. Mm. That's all they've got to do.
Is that right?
Get the people
control burning.
Do it as part of do it part of a health program. You know, get people out there, good clean air, birds singing, kangaroo hopping, all around you, the wildlife.
Mm.
You know.
Yep, we've got the answers, haven't we?
Absolutely.
But they're not listening. Thank you, Sylvia. I've got to go, my dear. That's a beautiful yarn there. Sylvia from WA, yarning up strong, and her input regarding Mother Earth and how we should protect her. And cultural burning is one of the ways. Have you say yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Going to talk to Deadly Brother now, BC, Barry Cedric on the line. Very good morning, my brother.
Very good morning, Trevor Timms and National Talk Black. Look, got a sore throat, brother.
Look, congratulations to those who don't know. Barry Cedric performed at the NAIDOC celebration, the CIAF celebration, the closing ceremony on the weekend at the Tanks here in Cairns, and I was there to witness the brother throw down. And too deadly, my brother, as always.
Thank you, sir. I'm just so privileged to play for the community, and then thanks to Daryl Harris.
Daryl
Production Company.
Janina.
Lent me their guitar.
Good team.
And then I played with his guitar on stage, so that was just absolutely awesome. I saw BBM and parts of the National Talk Black crew right at the end.
Thank you, my brother. Represent.
privilege to sit back on stage, you know, on the big gig, on the big stage, and it was most of the songs I produced that night was probably one of the latest one was on the stars of Yarraba Bay, laying on the beach. It sounds like a love song to my wife Margaret, but it's also about Yarraba in lockdown with the elders trapped in paradise, if you like, kept away and locked away, but we were still, you can lay on the beach on Yarraba Bay and all day and night, and so I enjoyed myself, and thanks to all the organisers. And what you made the MC there? What's
Aaron Fusso. MC?
Aaron Fusso, the man.
Paz.
Too
deadly the lad.
Thank you very much.
Well, what's this then?
Well said. Thank you very much. I look towards next year. Thanks, Renee and Daryl again. Thanks for your guitar that I played. And it beamed out throughout the country, as Trevor Timms would say, beaming out.
Beaming out.
Thank you.
To Daddy Barry Cedric.
Hello, Australia. from me, Barry Cedric, up in Cairns and Edmonton, yep. But my community is at Yarrabah.
And I'm just about to play your track here, my brother, Dreamtime. Give us a bit of description, the reason behind the song Dreamtime, brother.
It's a young boy asking an elder, please tell me my story. And he'd sit around the campfire every day and night to get capture the stories. Like these days, everybody's trapped on mobile phone,
yes.
MP3s. But back then, there were no MP3s. The corroboree was our radio.
Good, yes.
The campfire was the story place. And he used to tell, he begged his grandfather to tell him all his story. And by the time that he sat around campfires, when he got about 18 and 19 and 20, he had all his stories and the knowledge, and he could walk the walk and talk the talk, and he could walk in the white man's world and go back to his hometown, and he could fit in
living
really
both
well
worlds, brother.
But it's based on the dream time.
Beautiful. Well, here it is, my brother. You take care, BC. All the best, brother. One love. Here's Barry Cedric, Dreamtime. Do enjoy.
Come on, old man, please dance for me. Help me shake a leg, go a robbery. Dancing to the rhythm of the didgeridoo. As he dances the story of the sound of pepper sticks just clicking in time. I can feel your heartbeat and it's the same as mine. 'Cause I'm a proud aborigine. As he dances his way, way back.
Shake a leg, go robbery. All right. And
like a lake of robbery. Come on, man, please dance for me. Up a shake a lake of robbery. Up a shake a lake of
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, beginning of a statement from the heart. Natasha Eldridge, big shout out my sister. We're going to catch up now with someone on the line. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. Britain, Darren, brother, 51 people were killed. It was over in Newman, but if he was in Australia. But children's backpack, 15, this year, Gogo, 15, Snowtown, 11, I think, and Arvin Malat. And they all like still serving time here.
Yes.
But I told you about the opinion is, well, without Bob Barry in custody, well, if you don't do the crime, you won't have custody. It's justified to die in prison. But I gave you names of a lot of other white fellows that worked in prison that didn't die in prison. But again, that's again to show that we are really the moral ownership of this country, brother.
Mm.
Those people that done those killings, you know what saved them, brother? I reckon this is my take. What saved them from the being killed in prison is all for Max Stewart, brother. You see, they verbal him, brother. It was the blame of a 9-year-old Mary Hatton down in the unit somewhere.
Mm.
And Buzz, I think it was called, made a film about him. But Ron Ryan was the last person hanged, and he would have got hung in Yatala prison. But he had a couple of state of execution, and the judiciary, a lot of them say it was because of Max Stewart that the hanging was banned. It got abolished. It was because a black man named Max Stewart stopped hanging, and that would have saved all those white ones that done those mass killings, brother. And it really shows our moral ownership of this country, and we're the really moral guardians, brother. I gave you a couple of takes. This is only my take. Where we always showed our moral compass, brother. Yeah, thank you very much, brother.
Good point. Thank you very much, brother. Your daily program, National Talk Black. You mob can have your say, but you have to do that tomorrow because Murray's going to sign off here for the program for today. 1 hour program here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation. Thanks to NERS and a voice for our people. So, yeah, do utilise it. Call us again, 1-800-422-416. But 24/7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All our beautiful photos, our yarn, their stories and podcasts as well. Murray going to sign it. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still within the pandemic of COVID-19. Abide by the rules, the only vaccine we got at this point in time. But stay strong, you mob. Too deadly.